Dear Dhamma friends, this is the time for the question and answer session. There are written questions, and meanwhile, if you have any comments or any statements or questions, please feel free to ask while the session is going on. I'm going to start with the written one. We are extremely lucky to have you for this wonderful retreat. Only in two ways we could appreciate it: to say thank you and sincerely wish you to attain greater. Greaterhood in this very life. Second, for us to be in the path under your guidance. So usually these notes come on the first last date, but now it is started to come. At the end of the retreat only Thanksgiving notes are coming. In the Mahasatipatthana Sutta, under the Anapanasati, following phrases, iti ajhattangva kaya kayana pasi virati, bhaiddhava kaya kayana pasi virati, Reverend Sir, could you please explain this phrase? Ajyattanga kaya kayaan pasivirati, bahidhava kaya kayaan pasivirati. That's a very, it's called refrain. After the each and every episode, introducing any kind of meditation, the Buddha gave that refrain, the repetitive coverage, whether it is kayaanupassana, that's contemplation of the body, or any other chittaanupassana, vedanupassana, dhammaanupassana. You experience your direct touch, direct experience of dhinnandhya perception or under the nose experience of the kaya. And then when you see the other yogis, according to the direct experience, you can deduce why others are behaving like that. Because it is exactly the same. So therefore when you see external thing, you can comprehend, you can apprehend, or you can understand if you have the vigilant experience with your own the direct touch. So therefore internal external comparison is very important, otherwise your understanding will be quite limited. And yet another way we can say, when you are referring to the kayanupassana, there are a number of ways. One thing is to represent the breath body as the body, the breath, internal in breath and out breath as the body, representative of the body. And there, in breath and out breath, you have to see internal, external. Sometimes, in the micro level, you feel the breath directly at your the epidermis level, and you can pinpoint, this is the touch point, like that. You close your eyes and keep on meditating. Sometimes the touch point is shifting inwardly to the inside the brain, like centralizing to the middle. Sometimes it is shifting outwardly. So when these things happens, it's a reason for someone to entertain doubts. But this can happen, a shifting of dislodgement or shifting of the point can happen. That is also, you must not react to it. Just let the meditation to happen. So sometimes you feel as if breathing happening somewhere few meters away. That is also possible. And therefore, internal external comparison and arising in the same refrain. You have samudaya passiva kayasmin pirati, vayadhammanu passiva kayasmin pirati, samudaya vayadhammanu passiva kayasmin pirati. It is yet another dimension. You see the rising part of the breath, or rising part of the materiality, the cessation part of the materiality, and see the rising and passing away. So likewise, is the internal, external. When you can only see internal-external difference at the early part of meditation. Once you go deep into the level where you can observe rising and passing away in a very incision manner, you lose the boundaries of in and out, and there onward you see just a phenomena. You can't claim this as me or external. So till that, till these boundaries are breaking, you have to maintain, you have to be precise, this is in and out. And later you will see, you can feel the hardness, the moving nature, the heat, cold, stiffness, tension movements. They are just mere dhammata or natural characteristic. You can't claim it as your internal, external, me, outside kind of the breakage of boundary. So that is a very critical point whereby one has to really have the immunity, resistant power to go through this. Because those who have excessive desire for their one's own domain, one's own identity, whenever this is broken, when the boundaries are broken, they become nauseatic, they become vomitish, they become lost, they can't keep on. Just like that astronauts are going from the gravitational sphere to the sphere where there is no gravity, because our, all these things have been now designed according to the, under the law of gravity. But when you go outside, things you can't keep it like that. They are floating. So there you have to have a special training, but you can't have it here. You can only assimilate. But it is a must, because most of the journey you have to be in the non-gravitational sphere. Exactly the way when, as far as we have internal-external relationship, precision is there. The dramatic nature of there and the attractive nature of there in the meditation. But when the boundary broken, you lose your objective. So to rehearse this, or to make you immunized for that only, as far as possible, just see the internal-external relationship. And when you keep on observing at a time, you will lose it. You feel the nature, but very difficult to say it is me or outside. So it's a very good threshold. It's a very good hurdle. And it costs your, bravery. You must be brave. You must be heroic to go through. So that is why at the beginning you have been forced to see internal-external difference. Anapanasati also you can feel, sometimes it is dislodged to the outside and internal can happen. Other person also you can see, if you are observing a sleeping baby, you can see their breath. And when you are observing, you never feel like making a noise. You also become calmer. Because baby sleeping in such a beautiful manner, you become precautious. Am I making noise for him? Because you feel it. And when someone is shouting and all the kind of thing, you also blood become boiled and you feel like... So these are the way in the socially we can understand it. So therefore, we have the vibrations. If we are in an atmosphere where many people are meditating and calm and quiet, we also get this atmosphere. And if the people are really shouting and kind of thing, whatever the effort we are going to do to calm down ourselves, very difficult. So, these things are cause and effect. It is not their personality cases. So when you are comparing the internal and external relationship, you are not limiting to experience your skin. It is go beyond the skin. Sabbe sankhara anicca, sabbe sankhara anicca, sabbe dhamma anatta. So you explain the first two. Please could you explain the sabbe dhamma. Sabbe sankhara means due to your choice, due to your intentional selection, you make this is me and the other thing you call not me. And whatever you selected, whenever it is undergoing an impermanence, you get hurt. Which has not been selected, the majority, whether it is undergoing or not, you do not know, and no affliction. But whether you select or not, everything is non-self. Therefore, there you can't say sankhara, you have to select the term dhamma. Whatever the dhamma, it is anatta. Sankhara, the impermanence and suffering happen due to your involvement, due to your, you go there and grab it. This is me. And when that part is undergoing changes, you get afflicted and suffer. And then it's a dissatisfaction, unsatisfaction. Friction is there. But whether you select or not, it is universally, everything is anatta, no essence, no ungovernable. They have their own nature, law of nature. They work according to them. You can't command or demand upon them whether you selected part or not. So this has been discussed. Ambiguity of Dhamma by Vettamuni or something like that. There's Mitra's uncle. He has written one book, basically the discussions and others with Venerable Jnanavira. Yeah, there he has taken these three. Why the Buddha has taken first two steps, Sabbe Sankhara, why the last one is Dhamma, and he explained what is become Sankhara is due to your selection, and that is definitely whenever undergoing changes you have to suffer. But the other part which you have not selected also undergoing the changes, but you don't care. But Dhamma, that means whether you selected or not, everything is not under your control. So that is why these two terms, Dhamma and Sankhara. Yes. So that means Sankhara come under within the Dhamma, but all the Dhammas are not Sankharas. During the walking meditation, his thought of anitya arise when step or a stretch of the walking finishes, or of dhatu on trampling the sand arise, is it okay to stop and contemplate? Will it help, or just call it thinking and go on? Basically, when the dhatu, anitya means impermanent nature going to happen, often at the early part it is more conceptual rather than direct touch. So therefore, upon that, if you are going to contemplate, you are contemplating upon something conceptual. Best thing is you have to understand how your surrounding has been lying and adjusted, and if you keep on observing the same thing with the direct touch, you are leaving the concept and going more into the first-hand experience, and they are not necessary, in the first place, not necessary to have contemplations, and Dhamma itself is revealed. So therefore, as much as possible, get rid of the conceptualization. And the thing is, as far as the early conceptual parts are concerned, it is very dramatic. It is me. It is mine. I am the person who is understanding, like you get feelings, affections. But when you keep on the same thing, it becomes mere dhamma, whether you are contemplating or not. So maturity means when the situation becomes conducive, you must repeat the same thing to happen. It is called, as far as the anitya is concerned, it says, at the beginning, the anitya is going to manifest. That is called anicca or anicca lakkhana. Different people understand it with the different signs, different ways. So when that happens, instead of contemplation, if you do anicca or passana, the same way do you see again and again. Anupassana, that means accordingly you see it. Instead of thinking, direct touch. Then you come to the solid anicca-anupassana jnana. Otherwise it will be just contemplative. The contemplated part is adulterated part or second hand. The real direct touch, you have to go through this second hand or the low quality thing and then only it becomes direct touch and then anicca-anupassana jnana. When that happens, no conceptualization, it is realization. So therefore, it is asking, is it okay to stop and contemplate? Will it help? Or just call it thinking and go on? Without this thing, noting the thinking, let the dhatu manifestations to come and more you facilitate that one, make it the mean advantage of the situation, you can get your ways and means to continue. Don't react on the thinking or don't facilitate thinking or contemplation, just give the chances for the direct touch to happen. Should the yogi who faces issue with the wandering mind more than normal practice cittanupassana more compared to the contemplating the body and feeling? The phrasing is not very clear. If I am to repeat it, should a yogi who feels issue with the wandering mind more than normal practice cittanupassana more, compared to the contemplation of body and feeling. So there we have to understand, in the healthy way, whenever the kayanupassana, that means contemplation on your breathing, or rising and falling of the abdomen, or walking, Once it comes up to a certain maturity, it's naturally going to the Vedananupassana, Cittanupassana. Over there, the sign of wandering mind will be slowly, slowly reducing rather than increasing. But instead, if the mind won't allow the yogi to go into the object and if the wandering mind is going to happen too much, there is no chance to think that I am advancing to the, going to the Cittanupassana. That is, I think, overestimation. That's a wrong estimation. So, one must not promote wandering mind thinking wrongly, that is cittanupassana. That is, wandering mind is an unruly mind. It is not a thing happen according to your requirement. It is adamantation. So therefore, don't misunderstand the wandering mind as cittanupassana. These two are two contradictory. Wandering mind is something negative. Cittanupassana is very positive, helping you to understand Dhamma. But the wandering mind is giving more and more complications. Don't allow the mind to understand the Dhamma. And even though it is not in the question, the obvious question is what to do then? What is the answer for this wandering mind, that means first and foremost you have to understand wandering mind happens when you try to keep the attention with one particular take object, main object, respect to the corporeality, we'll say in breath and out. If the wandering mind happen again and again in the problematic way, two methods in the conventional way is you have to note the primary object as and when it arises. For example, if the in breath and out breath happened, you note in out 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 or in breath out breath in breath out breath. So that is you give the priority. Meanwhile, if the wandering mind happened and if it is continue to happen, you note it as wandering, wandering, wandering. And if that the frequency is increasing, it is starting the counting method. so to say, as far as mind is face-to-face, naughty mind is face-to-face with the primary object, you keep on counting in, out, one, in, out, two, in, out, three, and you can go up to eight, somewhere around, and come back to the one. Meanwhile, whenever wandering mind creeps in, you have to stop and start again with the one. So that you can have a quantification of the wandering mind, whether it is frequency increasing or not. So therefore, counting method is called Ganana in commentarial exegesis. Counting method is sometimes helpful. So if you make a determination after good walking session and come and sit and make yourself comfortable, introduce the primary object, call it the primary object to happen, by its own accord, and then make a determination, I will, with my determination power, I will count the primary object up to the 8, 2-3 times like. You make a determination and go in, out 1, in, out 2, in, out 3, and do it in the counting method. That way, if you can count it 2-3 cycles, naturally the wandering mind reduces. If it is a normal one, unless otherwise it's a special course. And therefore, Ganana method is called is the remedy for the wandering mind. This will be, you have to carefully compare the wandering mind in sitting meditation and walking meditation. Some people have way out in the walking meditation. Walking meditation, less and less wandering mind happen because touch is very gross, easy to keep the contact with. And even then, if the wandering mind going to happen, it says that uncontrollably it happens, you have to stop walking and just not wandering. Otherwise, the wandering mind will get the mean advantage if you are going to keep on walking. Therefore, to wandering mind make it substantial, to make it a point, to stand still. And then, just not the wandering mind, till it comes to a decision, either stop or you are stopping walking meditation, so that you can quantify its strength, its momentum. In sitting meditation also, if the wandering mind going to happen without giving any chance for primary object, to keep on wandering. It just occurred to me whether concentrated meditation with the aid of the beaded chain is the same as Anapanasati. If not, what is the difference? The Japamale, Atamale over the beaded chain is something external, Anapanasati is something internal. That is the only difference. So, therefore, whatever you take any remedy external, you become a refuge of that particular thing, your dependability increases. So, therefore, it is not being appreciated in the Vipassana sphere. To cite an example, when I was in Panditarama, there was a Mahayana monk, Joshi. I can't remember, his ordination is the Vajrayana system under the Dalai Lamas. So when he come to the Theravada tradition, he put a normal robe and he was an English person. So we were sharing, he was journeying to my room, and one day all of a sudden Sayadaw paid a visit to our rooms, and while he just come out see whether we are talking and sleeping or kind of thing. So when you go there, the American, the German, English monks, door is open, the table was blank, and there was the beaded chain, the atamali. Atamali was this only table. Yes, I had to just notice and been there. Next day in the interviews, he has no much of to send. He told that too much of wandering thoughts and all the kind of thing. Then I had to told him, I saw that you are using the japamali. Then she told, it is the only way that keeping little bit of concentration. He told, you are disqualified to be here, you have to get out. He told, I can understand, because it is a very essential part and partial of our life in the there. That is what the difference in the vipassana, we are not depending on anything outside. But if you are ready to accept now and throw it away, then you can stay. That's the only I also understand from that point of view. But if you go to normal Buddhist temples, always they are using the japamala. Because there are some seats made out of plants like that. People in the lunch interval go to their hall because they have the vow. At least 1 hour they have to meditate. Just like Muslims are going for 5 times to the church. So they go in the lunch interval, they go, take a seat, sit cross-legged, take a japamala. Japamala is enough there in there, and they start counting. Arahang, 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 arahang. Mala is rotating automatically. And you can go and listen. Arahang, 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 arahang. 1 hour finish, put there and go. So Sayadaw told, this is kind of a cheating. I mean, it is good, it's a kind of a meditation. But he says, these are the things we borrowed from the different traditions. Ultimately, we escape our present moment with the help of the other things. Of course, we are not doing any bad. But instead, there's one thing, you have to see things as they are. You have to see your internal thing. So therefore, it is not being appreciated. But don't take it to the fanatic, but I am giving an example. We here, in my the perspective, I give the equal chances for the beginner, the samatha and vipassana, whatever may be, to develop the mindfulness. Whatever the tactics you have to use, because it's a hell of a game. We can't restrict only to the vipassana or only to the samatha. So in order to develop mindfulness, you can use many ways and means, even though in the retreat we are only talking about mindfulness on in-breath and out-breath. The things can be used, no problem. But in Burma, specifically, Sayadaw is so sharp because all the others are just fanatically following these rituals without going to the vipassana, so they have to vehemently fight against them. Venerable sir, we had a fruitful meditation session here. How can we continue this at least to some extent at home? How can we involve our family members in mindful practice? My previous attempt failed. The second part, I really, really give the caution to you. Don't try to teach others. It's a hell of a waste of time. I am not out of compassion, I am telling. We are so tender, we are so starting, we must not take that kind of a serious tasks. And then ultimately you will work up with them and definitely your meditation also will go and ultimately you make enemies. So therefore, best thing is hide yourself as much as possible. Don't show them that you are meditating. Even you are having precepts. So much so, you have to be tricky. So you know, the people addicted to drugs, they never show. This is the worst addiction, mind you. Mindfulness is the worst addiction. So therefore, do it so that your best friend don't know. So I am a master on that. I have done practice 9 years. Even my university students, my fellow members and the family members, they don't. So that was given to me by Venerable Dhammika. He told, you are young. No one will believe that you are a practitioner, you are practicing. Because I am such a dynamic person. So he told, hide as much as possible, unless otherwise you feel the people with the same vibration. There you expose utmost and try to share as much as possible. But when you are working with the other people, the breakfast folk, Just have the breakfast and finish. No more. So that is an art. So therefore, if you are going to propagate this and that, I have to say sorry. No. This will be, there will be a time when the maturity happens by good vibrations, thing happens, rather than what we talk. So otherwise, don't take that serious thing. So even in the early part of the question, continue this at least to some extent at home. First and foremost, keep it to yourself. If anyone comes to know that you are meditating, it's a mistake of you. You are behaving in such a way so that another person going to know that you are meditator, it's a mistake. You have to pay. It is so costly. So be selfish at most. Be selfish. Don't show. If someone come and prick you, tell them that it is impossible, it is difficult, you can't do like that. And then only they will come and ask, why that you are also human, I am also human. If it is so, you can say that I will direct you to someone. That's the case. Likewise. So it's a kind of a going against the normal norms. And for me, for the 8 years that I practice, on the second year of my university life, and my postgraduate was dragging, and therefore halfway to my postgraduate thing, I was doing a job everywhere. Main thing is to be mindful and don't claim as a Buddhist. And each and every moment you try to be mindful. But no one knows that where I am aiming at. They think I am aiming at economy or political or social. Everything will be no problem. They are byproducts. Keep on practicing mindfulness. So, during that time, my English improved, labor management improved, and skill tools. Any machine, anything, I have to handle one or two times, then I can practice. I can put it in practice. So, my managing director, Mr. Swedingen, the Norwegian person, one day he came, I am observing you and please teach me what is your basic theme of your life. Then I told him, I am just being in the present moment, no more. So what he did was, he removed his clothes and came out with the white clad, removed the shoes and came and sat down on the ground, the pure sand, and asked me to sit and asked, please let me know, I observe your improvements. I am not appreciating any improvements, but I admire because I am also a person from the second class, and during one generation only I came up to this level, and I see I am really admiring you. At that time I have no this kind of a sharing capacity. Then I told, when I come here, I only one thing in my life. I have no idea about marriage or any big career. Be mindful. Then what the block? He can't understand. I can't explain him. What is the mindfulness is? Then I told that I try to be here and now. So he told, I am admiring, but I won't get the enough answer. The way you explain, I can't digest it. Then I told that I understand that you don't understand. That it doesn't matter. I don't care. So that is the way, even my family members, not a single one knows that I am practicing, because during the daytime I am a rebellion, fighting and making all the nonsense. So they think I am such a troublemaker. But whenever I get the chance, I go to Nilambe or lock my room inside and do little yoga practice and see. They directly told me, they hinted me, as a young girl or young boy going to practice, no one will really understand, they will misunderstand. Those younger, present day generation, no one, the parents never expect the younger generation to meditate to that kind of thing. So they are, if you are lucky or unlucky to start in the early life, hide it as much as possible. And then it works. So therefore, when you go home, three things. Whenever you do practice any work, washing dishes, washing clothes and bathing, toilets or anything, when you do yourself, there's no second person involved, make a determination, I will do it as well with the mindfulness. So you select some tasks that you daily you do in your daily routine and do mindfully, and whenever you decide, whenever you make a determination, just do that task little slowly. Then you have become self-conscious. Why I am doing little slowly? Otherwise you are in a rush. But when these little tasks, you do little slowly. And while doing, listen to your own sounds. How many noise I am making when I am doing something. So slowly, mindfully, silently, SMS. That is the way in the day-to-day activities. But don't try to do it all over the time. Select advantageous tasks. So in my case, when I was done with it all, brushing teeth. He told that you are doing only yourself. And when you are squeezing the toothpaste onward, brushing happened, ultimately finishing the washing, do slowly, listen to all the sounds, and then that task is finished. And then again some other task. And he gave me a joke, and we were both practicing. We as monk, I am now monk, but I hate monks. That is my day life. Whenever I hate monks, because I feel like jokers. I feel all the monks are jokers. So then we had a agreement, whenever we see yellow, we must be mindful. The yellow color. Whenever we see a robe, yellow color, we lose hate. We antagonize them. So when Dhammika is also kind of a character, we both had the agreement, whenever we see yellow color, it's a sign for me to be mindful. Otherwise, we can critical. So I am being so critical to the monks, when I was in Nilambe about to renunciate, they asked me to give me a talk. How can I, being so critical, how can I be a monk? So, yeah, I have no much of a facts to tell. I told, at last I understand they are also human beings. So then you have to sympathize. I am also going to jump into the same and I'll be a national joker. Never mind. I know it. So these are the ways that we have to enforce mindfulness. It is make it like a hobby. Don't take it like a regimentation and spiritual thing or religious thing. Just have some tags in your life. I do this only and together with mindfulness. And they are listen to your all sounds. And it is the secret. Listen to your own sounds. Don't listen to other sounds. Don't antagonize the other sounds. Whenever you are talking or doing something, listen, and then you naturally become self-conscious. Please explain how you progress in the jhana. Started from vitakka vichara to one-pointedness. Also, how does the yogi progress each state? Jhana, namely 1, 2, 3, 4. This has no specifically for the vipassana and samatha. Whatever may be the progress, one has to have the concentration. There are two types of concentration, samatha concentration and vipassana concentration. Samatha samadhi, vipassana samadhi. Both of them are happening in a sequential order, that the samatha concentration, samatha samadhi is well institutionalized, recognized, and you call these are the five factors of jhana, these are the hindrances, this is the first jhana, this is the second, third, fourth. But exactly the same thing happened in vipassana, but not institutionalized, not put into the cages, pragmatically say. So you have to understand five jhanic factors and the five hindrances. Kamachanda means multivarious or varietal entertainment. Kamachanda means you are changing objects. One-pointedness is the counterfeit or the antidote. One pointedness, you take only one object and adhere to that, be face to face. So whenever the kamachanda is being replaced by one pointedness, that we call that nivarana is gone and the jhana practice come. And second thing is vyapada. Vyapada is a hatred. Instead of the hatred, if you develop the gladness or rapture, that is the antidote. So you know, you take a neutral object like in-breath and out-breath, rising and falling, and the left leg and right leg. And at the beginning, it has no any attraction because it is neutral. But whenever the meditation progress, you feel more and more you be with the primary object, the mind is serene, mind is contented, and it is not exhausting. So therefore, one day, you will understand breathing in and out itself is, it's called beautiful breathing by Achan Brahm's vocabulary. Breathing become beautiful because it is not dissipating your mind, keep in track. In singular, we can say aswase aswadyakya. Aswase means in-breath, aswadyakya. You feel it carries everything. So you feel, be with the breath is just like the mother, you suck the milk from the mother's breast. Direct nutrients. So therefore, the hatred must be replaced by the rapture. And then the thinaminda is slumber. And mind bogged down, and then it is not agile. It is not working, it becomes like a sick animal. Instead, vitakka has to come. Vitakka is again and again applying the mind to the object. So vitakka, the sleep, the sloth and tova must be replaced by the vitakka. So that means at least you have to note the object. Vitakka gross form is noting in breath, out breath, or left, right. That is vitakka. But that is the vocalization or articulation. But even without that, mentally you can apply the mind. Or otherwise you can understand. Whenever it is not there, the sleepiness can come. And then Uddacha kukkuccha means that remorse about the past and the future excitement. So when that happens, the mind is scattered off. And instead, if you have the inquiring mind, vichara, or inquisitive mind, or discursive mind, that means you are not just going to the object and coming, you rub it and understand, feel it, heat, cold, stiffness, tension, movements, then the mind becomes come into a consistent, not steady. So therefore, Uddacha kukkuccha must be replaced by the inquiring mind, the vichara. And then the last one is vichikicca, doubts. It has to be replaced by the pleasure. When the mind is not only the gladness, when comes the sukha, it never questions. It just imbibe in it and happens. So when these things replacing each other, you come from the jhanic, the five hindrances to the jhanic factors. So therefore, even in the sapata or vipassana, if the mind has this the sleepiness or scattering, wandering, apply the vitakka, noting. That is called noting, labeling. These are the two. In Pali, it is called sallakkana. Salakana means salakunu karna. This is in-breath, this is out-breath, this is in-breath, this is out-breath. And vichara means just dot you are labeling it, you understand the discriminative difference between this is in-breath and this is out-breath. So then vichara is you are employing, you are putting, mobilizing this energy. So these are the two basic things, vitakka vichara, then others will come along with. Also, how does the yogi recognize the each set of jhana? 1, 2, 3, 4. There are, if you read the Samanyapala Sutta and some other suttas also, Buddha has given similes. How is the first jhana, how is the second jhana, third, fourth. The first jhana, I can't remember the third, second jhana. The Buddha has mentioned it is like a dugwell.
It is overflowing. When it is overflowing, each nook and corner is wet. So likewise, in the second jhana, you feel the gladness everywhere. Not only the touching point, whole body. And the third jhana, the Buddha has explained, just like a lotus flower, lotus bud. Still not has come up to the water, inside the water. So it is cool within the water. It is everywhere surrounded by the coolness. So likewise, the third jhana also, you feel sukha. Never you have experienced such a sukha by seeing object or listening sounds or smelling or tasting or comfort. It's such a cream or refined form of sukha. And fourth jhana, it says that as if you are sitting and someone you are close by the completely white cloth, you become like egg. Inside, pure white. So likewise, you feel when you in the fourth jhana, you are completely wrapped up, but wrapped up with a very pure white light cloth. So it might never go out. It dwell upon these kind of things. So these are epithets, parables or examples, different layers. But you have to master them. Just like understand the in-breath and out-breath, you have to master first jhana versus the second jhana, second versus the third jhana. So therefore, more than gaining the jhana, to make it durable, master it, to see the beginning, the middle and the end of jhana. So therefore, it is a months-long endeavors to master the jhana. But in the vipassana, it is happening, you are not mastering them, you are just used for the utility value, not for the sake of theoretical institutionalization. The functionally the same. Sukha. Samanya Pala Sutta. Dhiganikaya Samanya Pala Sutta. Otherwise, definitely it should have in Anguttara Nikaya Chatukka Nipata, the book of four. They would have re-explained it. Reverend sir, you mentioned that when one progresses along the Dhamma path, there is a stage when there is no difference between the male and female, Udyabhijnana state. Does this also mean that the other entities like mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter, recognition, etc. is also lost and they all merge into one and view as entities of course anything. This is what this happened. Ultimately everything reduced to energies. Energies are there. These energies will be a visual objects, sounds, smell, taste, tactile, or all the kind of thing. When you reduce the basic building blocks, they lose their identity, they lose their individuality. Ultimately, they come into the common character. Whenever the common character come and pervade, become prevalent, it happens only and only after losing the individual characters. Individual character happens due to the composition. Blocks come and take a shape and ultimately you call it a big, small, long, short, heavy, light, male, female. All the labels fit into whenever the building block come up to the shape. Same like something like a Lego set. When it is in the block, they are just plastic pieces. But you can make it different things and then it's a house. Or it's a horse, whatever mean. But you can dismantle it again back to the normal Lego set. Likewise, that in the meditation early part, this kind of it is called ghanavinibhoga. Ghanaya means the solid. Vinibhoga means analyzed. The ghanaya, the solid thing has been dismantled, just like we have the ilabatara mokadda kiyanne english ilabatara ilabatara athu ganna ganna the equal room that we are my handmade one we have so that is a number of sticks we put together and there is a function there but if you remove it if you remove the one and one stick it won't do the same function and it has no power you can easily break it but if you take everything you can't break it when everything together we call it equal group but when it's separated no so exactly the way when the udayabhijana happened and I was notorious in this talk I am whenever I am giving a talk I say that at a time all the males females will be males so fighting they are all the time some of the people blackguarded me the one nun in the Amaravati she was not at all happy but recently I can't remember the sutta it is in Anguttara Nikaya and maybe Attaka Nipata very clearly Buddha come 50% witnessing me he says men a female internally they have female features female organs femaleness female behavior but externally they expect maleness that is why the attraction externally they look for the male characters but the males are internally rough attacking and how do you call intruding parusha but externally they expect female character so much so he says attraction you can't do away with and this is a fact this is a common fact and he says in a meditation you come up to the certain level then the female loses female characters ultimately they are not recognizing with my characters they never recognize as female they are nature and therefore they loses the attraction to the maleness also exactly the males when they are meditating they understand it is not me it's a cause and effect relationship and ultimately the attraction to the female also as far as the negative polarity happens attraction happens when the polarity is reduces no attraction happens so therefore after a certain level this attraction reduces so it is explaining this situation 50% about 50% but that does not indicate in the communist they say everyone brother sahodara this is not the what Buddha is talking so everyone mother is also sahodari tata also brother that is kind of a going against the ethical values but here happens due to the alignment of your spiritual powers you can't see you can't see the conventional the much of a truth and essence in the conventional the labels instead you see through them and then you see just hardness stiffness tension moments it is very difficult to attribute or you can't see any person they are cause and effect relationship if so how can one expect to fulfill your duties toward your that is what I thought to your parents etc are they relevant only in the early stage of the path to nirvana so this is happening when and where spiritual faculties come alive when it is not there again you back to the normal day-to-day convention so it is not a stage happening in the how to call gradual permanent stages but when the meditation rather mindfulness and the concentration come in very quite alive at that moment you can feel it you can experience it you can touch it but whenever that is not there again you back to the normal values normal ethics so therefore but later once you see it very difficult for you to go in fanatic way you will come to the moderation don't go for extremes because you know the convention you have to accept this is male female mother father but they all human being they are sufferers they are everyone in the same boat there is no much of a difference so therefore you are not violating and you are not accepting 100% too
to the stage one teachers they are
identity. You are losing your identity and you understand that these basic elements are shared with all the beings, all the female, all the male, all the humans. It is nothing intrinsically identified as myself here. But you all are experiencing exactly the same, but it's a conceit, or it's a kind of egoistic idea. Then only I become superior. I am something special. You all are not so like that. So that is how the fighting happens. The moment you try to see the equality, the common nature happens. The best example is, if you take the tip of the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg has its own characteristics. Some are spiky, some are spreading and like that. But you have to understand the tip of the iceberg is only 1/10 of the whole volume. But the 9/10 of the down there is just ice. Whichever the berg, they are just ice. But we are recognize it with what is propped up above the water level. And that has different characteristics. But that is just 1/10. As far as the ice is concerned, everyone is ice. Yes, he identifies even the soul. He says Atta. Atta also identified. And Anatta also he identified. He used them in a strategic way not to make entanglement, not to make any kilesas, in order to reduce and see the common nature. Then the compassion can come. Yes, Sammuti Satya, Paramatta Satya. Both there, but by accepting the Paramatta, the Absolute, you are not fighting against the Sammuti. You know many people are there. You know how to fit into that. But you know that is your, you don't feel at home there. You feel at home whenever you go to Paramatta. So therefore, he is the only person, person who can see both, have two eyes so they can see the depth. People who have only the Sammuti Satta, Satcha, the conventional truth, they have the eye only one, so therefore you can't see the depth. So that's why the Buddha says at least you have to have two eyes. That does not indicate you are always in the Paramatta. At the meditation you can go there and you have to refight, reification. But you know how to deal with the other people. So in Mahayana, in the Zen Buddhism, it says, you must know how to work with the people and how to walk with the kings. So in the red carpet, when you are going with the king, you are going like king. But that does not indicate all the time you are on the red carpet with the king. So when you go home, you have to go be with the normal citizen John. Bhante, when you say, I mind your own business, you are saying the same thing as I turn the mirror of the Dhamma to yourself, not to others, because there is so much rubbish to clean within ourselves. Second, you did not clarify manasikarya not being some impact on sankhara adequately for my less informed mind. Can you please explain yonisu manasikara? The manasikara is being translated as adverting of the mind, adverting character. So for example, if you are given with number of options and if you have been asked to select one for the moment, so definitely you have to have the adverting of mind and you have to direct your mind and to one particular thing and then you have to pick it up. So whenever the options are too much, that particular function is done by a particular mental factor called manasikara. That is what go through the range and directly pick it. So you have to understand vitakka, chetana, manasikara. All the three are doing the same function, almost the same. Vitakka also, out of many objects, it raised to the particular object. Chetana also directed everything into one particular aim. Manasikara also pick one out of this thing. So in order to give this vitakka, manasikara and chetana, Pavaksada gave an example. There is a roving boat. Many rovers are roving. Each and every rover is like vitakka. And the rudder of the boat is like manasikara. And the captain of the team is the chetana. Captain of the team is in front of the everyone. He is looking at the object. He is looking at the team. And he encouraged them, hurry up. Like. But the person behind moved the rudder to focusing, he is facing to the object, change the direction to the target. Others are vehemently roving. So you have to understand the rudder is the avarapetta again. That is the one in the manasikara. So therefore all the three have the same, almost the same function, but by understanding this, you can see how is thing. And the army commander, army soldiers, and the, I think, map maker or something like that. This is the example given. So, manasikara is adverting, and that is the best used in advertisers. Advertisements, they know how to drag your attention. They specialize on the adverting of the mind. So, whatever the mindset, when you see the advertisement, he know how to pull your attention and sell his thing to gain the thing. So advertisement is completely promoting the adverting nature of the, or exploiting the adverting nature of the mind. This is the manasikara. And here the sankhara means chetana. And vitakka, the applying thoughts, is what we discussed in the early question, early this thing, just application, or it's a mechanical thing, it is a robotic application, robotic. Yonasu Manasikara, wise attention, as we train ourselves to look at the thing the way the Blessed One instructed us. Manasikara is also directed our attention. Please explain. Yonasu Manasikara is translated as wise reflection, wise reflection, but whenever came, Jnanananda came out with a better one, he told radical reflection. Our all wise reflections are very conventional. We try to maximize our economical, political and social gain. Yonasu Manasikara is something radical. He don't care about that. It only cut through and give lead you to see things as they are. Not to gain, not to have political power, not to have socialist thing. Therefore, it is radical. Oh, it is dramatic. Yonasu Manasikara is something dramatic, always against the grain. Always against the grain. So, therefore, whenever you put the teaching into the Yonasu Manasikara, many people will not be happy. Because they are coming to Dhamma in order to gain something. Political, social, and such people, that kind of people, that kind of Dhamma is called Dhamma with the supply and demand theory. Many people wanted to have Jataka stories and the kind of thing, and the monk also give the Jataka stories. Many say sadhu, 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 and offer this thing, that thing, and he will be popular. That is based on the supply and theory. When the Yonasu Manasikara happened, it's completely other way around, and whenever you are talking on the Yonasu Manasikara, take care not to criticize supply and demand theory. It is dangerous. But they are the thriving party, thriving thing in the religion. Let them have their own share. But mind you that, or mind your own business, that means Yonasu Manasikara, there won't be much of followers. So it's a very good sign. So, writing the book Upandita Sayado, in this life itself, in this very life, he says, when you become for example, Mithya Janma, they should not have a retinue of constant disciples. If someone is having such a followers, that is something wrong. You must have all the time shed off everything and you one man are. Always you must be one and one. If you, if someone is following vehemently, and even the Krishnamurti felt the friction. He told that if someone is coming behind me and always that is, he has not got me. That is the radical reflection. You have to be independent yourself. Not always depending on someone. So radical reflection is always very critical. Very, I can't understand. Not gathering. Not accumulating. Shedding off. Whether that inherent to us and whether it is to do with traits, gather alone our journey through please explain whether that is inherent to us and whether it is to do with traits. We have gathered along our journey through sermons to someone. Yeah, basically, Yonsumaniskara, which is directed with the correct view, and both of them never inherit. It is not in the system. System will always to have the existence, have the vortex, have the craving. Yonsumaniskara is the radical reflection. It is that not the centrifugal fire force. It is centripete. These are two powers. Sansaric vortex is centrifugal, accumulating and towards the vortex inside. But this is out of this. It's throwing away. So therefore, Buddha says the correct view never happened by own thinking, only by listening of an enlightened person. And internally you have radical reflection, correct understanding, correct weight. So therefore it is strange. Always it is outside. If so, we cannot do much about it. Then Buddhism becomes fantastic. We have to have a kind of a reflection to say that Buddha is telling something difficult to comprehend, but it is good. The other people give something popular and cheap popularity, but we know it is so much of cost. The long term it is costly, so that discrimination must be there. But without listening, internally it never manifests within. Internally, whatever manifesting, it is more to the sansara. Yonsumaniskara is cutting off from the sansara outwardly, so internally you must have the kind of reflecting capacity, but outside. Radical thing has to come to our system, then only we get challenged. Often, whenever we get challenged, we select the conventional method. Because it is a refuge, it is a known place, it is feel at home. But that will never give the answer. Always you have to take the more costly, or more challenging, more demanding thing. So therefore, it is a kind of a boldness, kind of heroic. Nature must be there. So, it says it is always electric. Yonsumaniskara make it possible to change everything. So, it is volition, isn't it? Now, Yonsumaniskara is not volition. The Yonsumaniskara give you more opening for the volition to take radical reflection, radical selections. This is just radical reflection. That is the against the grain, going against the grain. Please clarify this for me. These are, we can talk and we can endow with ourselves. But in the meditation, when the mindfulness and the concentration happens, many, many options are happening. Naturally, we select conventional known thing. So much so, we are caught up in the vortex. At a time, you have to think about, let my body perish, let my life finishes, never mind. I will do this radical thing. Likewise, you have to play, gamble in the sense, gambling with your life. So up to that you must have so much, so you must have the faith. Slowly, slowly it is developing. At a time you come up to the level, you are ready to sacrifice anything for the sake of Jonsu Manchikara or insight knowledge. Can a yogi do mainly walking meditation and get Magapala? This is very difficult to say because it is understanding is not a one moment. It's a cumulative effect. After long journey, the culmination, the surmounting is one event. There are events in the Tripitaka. They have been enlightened while doing walking meditation. So it's an opening. Most of the dependent origination is evident during walking. So why not? If it is so, to encourage it. When the body is released and the breath is subsided, I feel the mind expanding with the internal and external energy. So this is what I call the breaking the boundaries. You lose the boundaries. Is this a correct understanding, especially the external energy, especially the external energy. So, basically, if you really understand, you can't demarcate specifically the as far as energy is concerned. Energy has no internal external. Energy has no good and bad. Energy has no just and unjust. Energy has no dhamma. So that is very difficult for you to understand, so you will never recognize it. Because you won't always have your likings and dislikings, your favorite and kind of things, so therefore you never compromise for energy. So when the energy happens, naturally boundaries are broken. But the Buddha says our mind can cater for that, that's all. Only the human mind can cater for it. No boundary situation, it is not the lost. But we have conventionally clinging to our likings and dislikes, our all combination. So much so, we never take that. We never compromise for energy. We wanted to have agglomerations, different shapes, different manners. If so, Bhante, can you please relate it to the Dhamma in this correct understanding, especially to the... When I am reading in the Nilambe, I am not in the retreat, but when you go home, you can read. There's a one book known as No Boundary by Ken Wilber. Ken Wilber is a very famous person. Westerners don't care, but his expression, his writings are very clear. He has coined the term the complete integral spiritual development or something like that. It is not a part and parcel of the life, it's a complete life. So one of his early books known as No Boundary, for me, it was so clear. One thing is expressing otherwise, no, communicating with otherwise, and understanding this, the no boundary situation in the meditation. When the no boundary situation happens, you lose the domain of your ego. Ego is always protected with the boundary domain. Within that you call as me, outside you call not me. It's an essential part in the vijnana to exist, and the concept of ego to come and thrive. So whenever you recognize everyone as equal, everything has no boundary, then ego concept cannot live. Just like a Dracula is being exposed to the sunlight. Dracula can't live in the light. So our Dracula is ego. It is living under the darkness of this is me, this is not me relationship. So in the meditation, it is even when the breath becomes subtle, you are leading to that. That is how you become threatened. So you have to immunize yourself. Go prepared for that. And then no boundary will be a real relaxation, real healing, real recuperation, real recharging of your life. Huh? Even the thoughts happen, you don't claim.
Ken Wilber, K-E-N, Ken, W-I-L-B-E-R, series of books, you have to order the No Boundary. No. Ken Wilber, Wilber, W-I-L-B-E-R. When meditating on the breath, I notice earth element, sometimes water element and heat element. I note these, let go and turn to the primary. Is this the correct approach? What should I do to progress beyond this? Many blessings to you. So you must be more frequent with, more immediate with, more close with it. Now still you see the object and the observer's difference, and so much so the boundary is there. When the object becomes very immediate, very close and come close by, the boundaries merge each other. The observer and the observed thing. And then onward no meditation happens, but you can't get the escape from the meditation also. You are in it. So this is what... you can't escape. You are there. Whenever the mindfulness is gone there, you will be again, come back to the opening eyes and see it. Parts are there, nothing to worry. Till that you can't understand why there is existence. There's always you have to way, find the way out to escape, because how can you go back home then otherwise? Buddha says go on and see. Go on and see. So then who is talking now? So you came back to the thing, that is your whole effort to come back to the earth and I get you back identity, the clock back put into the, and then and here I am. Yeah. Am I correct? I mean, this is the way we proliferate our suffering. But the Buddha is giving the way out. And he says that without that strategy we can't go out. And then you have the option. Whenever necessary you can go home. And there are no maintenance. Everything is a walkover. Everything is a winning without a rivalry. And but you feel something lost. You feel that you feel like putting some little moldy fish. And that means again come back. It's good, at least once if you can understand this and this, the way out, that's a big different perspective, paradigm shifting.
Does the heart rate go down with the respiration?
Pardon me?
Heart rate,
definitely, because that it is not necessary to burn so much of energy. No friction, and you are in the least frictional path, and the power lines are really straightened. So transmission happening sharp to the point, no bends, no crookedness. So when that happens, it is. Some people say you are just like a flute. The air goes and the music come out. The musical instrument, the flute, it's empty. Air goes from here, and the sound music come out of there. You become empty. Everything just pass. But everything coming out is beautiful. Become aesthetic. Not defiled. Your analysis of sati has been very expansive in depth and breadth. May the merit of these discussions end of you to expose to the Dhamma to more and more yogis like us. The term sati is usually coined together with sampajanya. Can you please explain the role of the latter and how they coexist? There are two examples I can give. They are very enlightening. The sati is like a blind person but fully fledged with the limbs. Sampajanya is like a crippled person, have good eyes, he can't walk. So one day sampajanya has climbed upon the sati and then direct the sati. So then both can do fairly just like a one unit. That is how the sati and sampada. Sati is full of energy, but no eyes. There is no selecting. As it make a huge area, a huge space, so sampajanya is come crippled way, but it can look and see in the new perspective what is really benefit and what is habitual and what is in a rut. So sampajanya says, sati, now you have given the space, now please direct me to that. This is the most helpful for your well-being. Kind of sampajanya take the chance of the sati. Otherwise is sati and sampajanya is like a needle and the thread. When the needle is going there, the cloth has to bend accordingly. So you put the one, the needle taken, the thread go there and put the knot and fix the with the knitting. So both of them are working in a such a way, a needle and the thread. Walking meditation directed mainly as a tool of developing sati. Can one achieve state of samadhi? As it anapanasati practicing only walking meditation. Yes, the samadhi, the Buddha's word, it says, chankamadhi gato samadhi chiratichi kohoti. If you can get the samadhi, it's difficult to get it. But once you get it, it is durable. It is lasting. Because sitting meditation, whatever the samadhi, when you open the eyes, it disappears. When you get up, finished. I mean, it is become low grade. But in the walking meditation, you gain samadhi while opening and walking. So therefore, it is very versatile. It's very durable. Bhante, in a retreat like this, or if one renunciates lay life, the conditions to develop mindfulness are very conducive. But as lay people, how do we continue to progress even very slowly as our journey has been compared to a peacock with its feather, its full display and yours to that of the swans, sure, smooth and speedy. The Buddha has their stacked for lay people to enjoy bhavabhoga sampada. When one does that, it really slows the speed on the path. What are your views? How can your experience guide us apart from renunciating? I think this is the question. A question is really fighting not to renunciate. That's asking the possible ways how to not to renunciate. Because this renunciation means going out of the house. And the renunciation is generosity, give up, anything. So by now you know or not, a huge amount of renunciation. My explanation is, you to close your eyes and bring it to here now I am, you have to renunciate the whole world. Otherwise how can you be here and now? So that's all renunciation. Otherwise you will be thinking the yesterday, tomorrow, house and all that. That means you are not renounced. So you can't be here and now. So being here and now itself is a renunciation, that is a whole split second. So, but it is a potential, it's a probability. And then mind has a two ways now. Earlier it was bogged down with body and myself and the karma chanda and kind of thing. Now you know, away from this sensuous gratification, there's a kind of a way out and radical option. So now you have a chances again and again, which one to select, which one to maximize. And getting a chance like this is won't make it a burden or complication of the problem, make it as an option in future decisions. Keep it as another way out. So mind will slowly make use them as possible options and in future decisions, it's a kind of an addiction. You will be addicted to solitude. Slowly addicted, you will be maximizing the solitude. And then being in the household life, easily you can have a successful progress. As I mentioned in my 8 to 9 years, huge progress. I don't know, but my
Other people observed me, told that a huge progress. I tried to hide them as much as possible. Not to claim I am a meditator, I am a Buddhist, nothing. Just live in the normal life. So therefore, it is a different kind of art and art. You have to understand, hide your qualities as much as possible. Just live like a citizen job. Siribis. Just siribis. Don't claim that I am a spiritual being, I am so and so. Then you are asking trouble. So, it's an art. Okay, we have taken 1.5 hours, almost. If there are no other questions or inquiries, we can go for walking meditation. Okay, then we'll say sadhu 3 times and finish it. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.